Let's open up to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Unity equals unlimited possibilities. Okay, we're there? Not yet? Oh, you still ready? Okay. Well, I'm going to start. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering. Those there are characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring means to make every effort to work hard at maintaining the unity of the Spirit here. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, that's Holy Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But Paul says there is one body. Unity just does not happen. So we have to work at it. Often, differences among people, because peoples is peoples, right? They can lead to division. But this should not be true in the church. Instead of focusing on what divides us, we should be reminded of what unifies us. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. No one is ever going to be perfect on this here on this earth. So we must accept and love other believers in spite of their faults. Did you all hear that?
Amen.
Okay. To build unity is one of the Holy Spirit's important roles. See, He leads, but we must be willing to be led. And then we got to do our part to keep peace. So in Matthew 5, Jesus said, 5:9, Dean, so you're writing this down. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You want to keep peace? You can. By focusing on God and not on yourselves. We must be patient, loving, and gentle. And maybe you ladies should do what Teresa has done for years. A kinder, more gentler Jack. It has worked.
Amen.
It has worked. Hey, Deb, there's a good one. A kinder, more gentler Dean, huh?
Hallelujah.
Okay. Hey, you think I'm going to take all this by myself? No. No way. I call you. I hear you. Paul said, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. This was no general letter here, he wrote. It wasn't supposed to be posted for the unbelievers to read. Paul was speaking directly to those who called themselves Christians. Now, Luke, and I don't know why I go the direction I do, so you just got to follow the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 6, verse 31, the New King James. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Tony, you're going to like this, okay? A little five-year-old boy one day was playing with his two-year-old brother when the two-year-old reached up and yanked his older brother's hair. He screamed in pain, and his mother came rushing in. He cried and said that his younger brother had pulled his hair. His mom said, "Well, he's only 2 years old, and he doesn't know what it's like to have his hair pulled." The mom left, and seconds later, she heard a scream from the bedroom. But this time it was the two-year-old screaming in pain. She rushed in and asked what had happened, to which the five-year-old explained, "You said he didn't know what it was like. Well, now he does." So when you're looking at Luke 6:31, though, in the Message Bible, it says, "Here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourselves what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them." You pull their hair, they're going to pull your hair. And it's going to hurt. Okay? But you go on to read the next couple verses in the Message Bible. You just got to love the Message Bible. "If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that." How many of you realize that you didn't choose God? How many of you are aware that He chose you? Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 4 and 5. "Just as He is God, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Holy Spirit gently called you to salvation and to a lifelong walk with the one who created you. See, all things were created through Him and for Him. Amen. If you've never realized that you were called before, you are now. See, and I want you all to realize how special you are to Him and just how much He truly loves you. That's the words of Selah. We are the called out ones. We are Christ's ecclesia. I also want you to know that we haven't been called to a solo career. We have been called to work together. Amen. For the glory of God. For one day we will receive our reward when we lay our crowns and trophies at Jesus' feet. And believe me, it will mean much more then than it does in the here and now. We have an incredible opportunity before us as believers. There is power in unity, an opportunity that stands wide open before us to change our government, all levels. What am I getting to? Get out and vote. Get out and vote. But do your research. When you do your research, then pray. Do some more research and then pray some more. And then when you go in and vote and you walk out, don't quit praying. Amen. The devil doesn't quit. He works 24/7. Being a part-time Christian is not going to defeat the devil. Amen. You're leaving yourself wide open. We ask and we believe and have prayed about the harvesting of souls that have been prophesied about. Collectively, as a unified body of believers praying, we are seeing this taking place. There are tent crusades around our nation happening, and thousands upon thousands have given their lives to Christ. It's happening. The awakening is happening. It's about the harvesting of souls, folks. Because people are seeking out for answers. And as our sister so was right on time, fear. We got to combat the fear. We got to be those that can bring those that are out there that are stressed out and worrying to get them on track, to let them know that they have hope. Amen. Hallelujah. And how about Sean? Let me see. Folt. I had to get that right. I had to think. When you say Folt, it's actually spelled F-E-U-C-H-T. Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. Folt. Well, he was in New York City and in Times Square just recently with his Let Us Worship tour. It's been going around the country. Now he's in Times Square. And they're worshiping Jesus. And they estimated and were told there was over 5,000 people came during the day while they were just stopped and worshiped. 5,000 people. And hundreds of people gave their lives to Christ that day. And even the police officers, when it was over, asked them, "When are you coming back?" There was such peace in the city that during the event that they were remarked by it, you know. When God's presence is felt. So even as they got started, you know, because they know that he's pro-life, okay? And anyhow, there's a woman who came there, and she's really pro-abortion, big time. She's the one who takes the baby with the baby dolls and rips the heads off, you know, a lot. Well, she came there, and she is just going off. And they were worshiping, and they just stopped, and she's going on. And you know what? He just said, "Everybody, reach your hands out there, and let's pray for her." And they prayed for her eyes, understanding open. They just prayed to God to just move. They didn't pray anything evil against her. And guess what? She finally just shut up and just backed off, and she left. Cops didn't have to break nothing up. God just escorted her out of the way. Gave her an opportunity. He said, "Hey, listen, they're praying for your salvation, lady. Get your eyes opened up." And, you know, but all they did was they paused because when you praise and worship and God's in the midst of them, nothing's going to happen. I thought that was pretty cool. So in unity, there is power. So as they gathered together, you can see the power they had. And you know what the city is like in New York. You know what the state's like. We won't even go there. I mean, you could just do your research there and find out. But unity. Unity is the state or quality of being one. Singleness. The state or quality of being in accord, which is harmony. The combination or arrangement of parts into a whole. That's called unification. Singleness or constancy of purpose or action, continuity. See, in an army, you need unity of purpose. In God's army, you need the same thing. That is where you get your strength, in the unity. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The New Living Testament brings a little bit more to think. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now see, I understand those about the cords because I came out of the mills. And depending on what you were going to do, you just use a single strand, you made extra strand. And they actually made them. We actually had cables that were almost 4 or 5 inches in diameter, depending on what the load factor was we were picking up. Because the more you put them and wrap them together, the stronger and the more wood that they could lift. So there's something to me. See, that means something to me because I know the strength when you do that with cords. Hallelujah. There are advantages to cooperating with others. See, life is designed for companionship, not isolation, for intimacy, not loneliness. Strength. See, in Psalm 28, verse 7, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. And what are we supposed to do? Praise him in the morning? Praise him in the noontime, and be praising him when the sun goes down. The Hebrew nation sang a song after the Red Sea crossing, and it is found in Exodus 15. Now, I'm not going to read the whole song because it's quite lengthy, but you should go look it up. So mark that down, Exodus 15. And it's called the Song of Moses. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. He is our strength. And just how much strength is that? Well, that's enough to defeat the opposing army. He's given you that kind of strength. Because when we're together, unified, oh my, I don't care what the enemy comes against you with. We are united together in one accord, one passion, with one purpose. But it's enough to where nothing would be impossible to achieve. Think about that for just 1 second. Everything that has ever been achieved and considered great throughout all of history has had unity involved as one of the main ingredients through the process. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Some I write out, some I don't. Acts chapter 2. And verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But notice, they were all, every one of them, in one accord with one passion, and they had been there for 7 to 8 days. All 120 of them. Now, why do I say 7 to 10 days? Well, if you take from the Passover to when it all started, and then you have, it's 50 days to Pentecost. Okay? Well, Jesus was still with them for 40 days. Now, if you include the 3 days he was in the grave, then that would tell you 7. But there's no, you know, I can't find any. But so if you rule it out, then it was 10 days. So 10 days they were together. And they were peaceful, because you know what they were doing the whole time? They were praising and worshiping. And they were expecting. They were expecting. And why did it happen? Why did it take 10 days? Well, think about this for a minute. Jesus went to heaven, but he wasn't truly glorified yet. He had to be glorified and set at the right hand of the throne of God. And once he was there, then he was able to release the Holy Spirit to come on our behalf, because he promised it. And he is faithful and true to every promise he made to us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. They were unified with the same purpose in mind. They were all striving and praying, and everybody had the same purpose. They all wanted the same thing. They were, without a doubt, unified in their objective. And when the Holy Spirit fell that day, how many did he fall on? All of them. He fell on each and every one of them. And from those 120, it was on them now to go out and lay hands. Lay hands so people could be filled with the Spirit. And once you're born again, you got the Spirit in you, but you don't have the full power of the Holy Spirit. Now you can yourselves ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. But you got to be in a church that teaches that too. Okay? Hallelujah, Jesus. The Holy Spirit fell on everyone, every single one of them. And the results sent shockwaves throughout the world. And to this day, there are aftershakes, 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 aftershakes. Each time we get together and people get filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the aftershakes. And they're going to continue. They're going to continue for as long as we're here. Because that's our job. That's part of our responsibility. To keep the shaking going on. Hallelujah. When the pilgrims came across the ocean on the Mayflower, they had unity. They were united together with a specific goal in mind. It had taken decades upon decades to get just to that point. They wanted to be free to worship God the way they wanted to worship Him because of that unity of spirit. And we are still enjoying the benefits today of the freedom of religion that they so desperately desired. But today, we are having to fight to maintain our religious freedom, our freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms, to protect ourselves. From who? From the tyrannical, from the government. Go back and read your history. That's why they didn't want us to be unarmed. Hallelujah. But like I say, we're having to fight for them. See, rights and freedoms are two concepts that overlap to a certain extent. Now follow me. Rights are an individual's moral or legal entitlement to have or do something. Rights and freedoms. Okay? Now, freedom. Freedom is the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Did we get that? I guess maybe I should repeat that again. Okay. Rights are an individual's moral or legal entitlement to have or do something. Freedom is the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. It is our rights that ensure and protect our freedoms. Why do you think we have the Bill of Rights? To protect our freedoms. That's why they gave them to us. So when you put the two together, you see where the founding fathers said, hey, we got to watch what we've done. We need to make some amendments to this Constitution because we left ourselves vulnerable, and some of the other states were saying, yeah. And they were trying to keep unity. That's what we're called the United States, not divided, united. See, we have the right to assemble in God's house, to pray and to worship God. During the initial start of the pandemic, the churches were asked not to assemble to control the spread of the China virus. Yes, it originated in China. More and more proof is coming out about that. But they're trying to figure out how they can, the Chinese can say, well, wait a minute. The United States had part of that, but how about if we just share the blame? No. Fauci's done. Him and all that whole organization are falling, just like a house of cards. It's crumbling. Why do you think they're all running and getting out? They've been caught. They've been exposed. Hallelujah. Jesus. And we can see from what was going on there doing that it was leading to what the government wanted all along. They wanted to totally control the churches. But we, the ecclesia, will not be led down that pathway again. We will not. This church will not. As long as I'm the pastor, we're not going to follow that. They're not going to shut our doors. We have the freedom to gather together and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're going to do it without a mask on our face. Uh-huh. I haven't got to see the movie yet, but I can't wait to see it. The Super Spreader. Okay. That's going to be pretty good. I want to get out there to see it. Because I understand it's only for a limited amount of time, and it's only in certain places. You know, because they had to get some, not everybody was in agreement with showing this film. Well, you know why? Because it exposes them. Hallelujah. But what did Jesus say? The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. My church. Who is his church? The called out ones. That is us. That is us. Unity equals unlimited possibilities. See, as we come together and pray about specific objectives, like the building of his church, the building up of his kingdom, and the saving of our nation, in a unified manner, as a unified body of believers, there will be unlimited possibilities for us. He will pour out his blessing on all of our efforts and will not hold anything back from us, not only in our lifetimes, but the reward will be for all of eternity. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, Psalm 84, verse 11. Says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man, pastor added, and woman who trusts in you. And how are we to trust in him? Well, in Proverbs 3:5, what's it say? Trust in, lean on, adhere to, and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. That's how we're to do it. And just in case you have forgotten, though, the definition up there of grace, it is the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners, the divine influence operating in individuals, and the bestowal of blessings. Yeah, you got to look that up in the Christian dictionary. That's not in Webster's. Hallelujah. If we are willing to do what God has asked us to do, we can expect answers to all of our prayers. The unification of Jesus' church adds up to unlimited possibilities. Right now, I want you to imagine the greatest harvest of souls that you can imagine. And I want you to know that it falls so short in what God Himself wants and what He's longing for. Unification is the act, process, or result of bringing or coming together into or as if into a single unit or group. Now that's Webster's. So turn to Acts chapter 2 there, verses 46 and 47. Right? Yes. Unification, right? Okay. Now, this is King James. You guys are looking at the New King James. This is King James. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Well, what are they doing? Worshiping together. And breaking bread from house to house. You know what breaking bread from house to house was? Taking communion. They would take communion. And then it says, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. After they took communion, then they had dinner together, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord did the adding. And then he turned it into multiplication. He always does. God even told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. See, he was into multiplication way long time ago. You know, it came down to, what, 2 fish and 5 loaves, right? What's that make? What number does that make? 7. Now, he took that, when they put it all together, and he multiplied it. He multiplied it. It was in the same size containers, but yet it never ran dry. The multiplication factor just kept going and kept going. And it fed over 20,000 people. Could you imagine how many pieces of fish and bread came out from an addition of 5 and 2 to make 7, and then he turned it into God's perfect number, which was in a multiplication factor for him. Hallelujah. Works all the time. The disciples were all unified, though, in a cause. And then what? And the effects were amazing. So there we come to. We have a cause and we have effects. Should we expect less? Well, should we? That's right. We should not. If we are willing to do the same, though, speaking of a cause, though, remember David? What did David say? Is there not a cause? And then he turned to the other group. Is there not a cause? And then he turned to the other. Is there not a cause? For David, there was a cause. Because there was a giant called Goliath who was running off at the mouth, defiling God's army. God's army. The army of Israel. See, so for David, there was a cause. And then there was an effect. And it did not turn out well for Goliath. Mm-mm. He ended up losing a head over this deal. The effect also took David from a shepherd to a warrior to a king. And from his lineage is where Jesus came through. Man, I don't know about you, but goosebumps, hallelujah. Praise God. As we come together, unified in prayer and praise, and we'll be committed to it and expect for the uncommon results that only God is able to deliver, we will see it come to pass. If we are, His words say this, He stands ready to deliver. He stands ready to deliver. Deliver on what? On what He has promised. Comes through the covenant. Covenant is important with God. Very, very important. That's why when He speaks a covenant, and that's why when husband and wives get married, it's a covenant of marriage. It's a covenant. It's important to God. It's in God's eyes. Hallelujah. The left and the deep state, all. The deep state. Did I say that? Oh, well, you know what? You're going to say, well, that's just something somebody made up. That's not for real. Well, listen, the deep state, Democrat Representative Sini Hoyer of Maryland of the 5th District is House Majority Leader. And he admitted to the existence of the deep state. Oh, really? He did this in Congress. You can Google it. You'll find it. He said the deep state is a cadre of professionals dedicated to honoring the Constitution, the laws of this country, and carrying out the policies of the Congress and the President. What do we need all them people in Congress for? What do we need them there for? What do we need senators and representatives for? If we got a group of people that know better. It's a shadow government that's operating there, folks. And they've been exposed. All we don't have yet is names. But we can theorize. And believe me, most of the stuff that people have been calling us about, what we're theorizing, I'm telling you, it's all coming to pass. It's coming to pass. So when they talk about the deep state, yes, it does exist. It is real. They even are telling us it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God just keeps bringing things forward. Hallelujah. Well, the left and the deep state and the rhinos, can't let them out, Republicans in name only, are all working very hard to dividing and bringing confusion to the church and to the American people. Yes, we the people. And we must stay united and seek out truth. Satan knows the power of a united church. He knows he is unable to prevail against it. It's why he works so hard at dividing us. He knows that if he gets in, he can destroy from within. We cannot let him in. He doesn't get in here because I plead the blood over them doors in the morning. He's not going to piggyback on anything or anybody coming in. Can't. Put the blood on the doorpost, on the lintel. Got it covered. And I even do the threshold, hallelujah. I do that over the church and over all the doorways there. I do that at my house. I walk the bloodline around my property. And my Shih Tzus never walked out of the property line because of the bloodline that kept them in and kept them protected. They would literally go out and you could watch them walk up there and walk over and walk back. It's amazing. And then that's when I realized it's the bloodline. It's protecting them. Hallelujah. Use the blood. Plead the blood, folks. There's power in the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 8, verse 17. Luke chapter 8, verse 17. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light.
Thank you, Lord.
I like the beginning here, though, the next couple words say, therefore, take heed how you hear. What are you listening to? Where are you getting your information from? We must fact check everything we hear. And then we got to listen for the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. Amen. And I've got the sign, so we're going to have to wind this down. Okay. Here you go. I'm going to add a couple of decrees, Shirley. You mind? That you did such an awesome job. I don't. Okay. We decree there is nothing hidden that shall not be disclosed, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come out into the open. We decree there will be total and true transparency and full accountability of all those involved in our government, all our government agencies, and our military. In Jesus' name. What God has done through the ages for others, He will do just the same for us. If we humble ourselves and pray and call on His name, unified together until the power falls. What's 2 Chronicles 7:14 say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Heal their land. America shall be saved. I'm telling you. Listen, there's no more status quo. Status quo should be a word and a frame of mind that is never accepted or settled for in the church or in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Takes unity. Yes. Unity to succeed. All right. Now, I'm not going to go into this other, but that's where I'm going to finish. But I'm going to give you one more story. Only because, you know, Joey keeps sending me these great Friday funnies, and I love them. You don't know how that picks me up. I look forward to that. And when I don't get them, then I got to say, okay, is Joe okay? Yeah, he's okay. Because Tony would have called me. I just know. Because she loves her man so much, she makes sure that if he's hurting, she calls out and says, can you pray for him? And you do this. Oh, yeah. But here's this story. Two men were riding a bicycle built for two when they came to a big steep hill. It took a great deal of struggle for the men to complete what proved to be a very steep and stiff climb. When they got to the top of the hill, the man in front turned to the other and said, "Boy, that sure was a hard climb." The fellow in the back replied, "Yes, and if I hadn't kept the brakes on all the way, we would have probably rolled backwards down the hill." Watch who you are unified with, brothers and sisters. God bless y'all. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.